Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. I am Andy Eubank on the 23rd of June, 2025. Summer officially here. And Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with the Hot Indiana Farm Forecast says it will continue very hot and dry. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Also coming up today, Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller with the news, including some Indiana FFA state officer nostalgia from 1974, and what USDA is doing about the new world screwworm problem. Markets on Friday all sold off, corn, soybeans, and wheat. We have numbers and Carl Setzer analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
The first female state officer for Indiana FFA and USDA's plan to combat screwworm. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Five of the seven Indiana FFA state officers that were elected last week are women, including the new Indiana FFA president. But no woman had served as a state officer until 1974. C.J. Miller introduces us to the very first woman to break that glass ceiling.
I've seen a lot of change, a lot of growth, lots of growth.
And that's Debbie Michael Kortner, who was reporter for the Indiana FFA state officer team 50 years ago. Back then, she was Debbie Michael and first got into FFA at Plymouth High School in Marshall County.
Girls were allowed to be in FFA or take even ag classes back in 1969. When I was a freshman in 1970, the ag teacher approached me about taking ag classes and joining FFA.
She tells Hoosier Ag Today she faced a number of different challenges at that time.
Number one, the jacket wasn't designed for girls. It was a guy's cut. As with anything, there's always obstacles of people really not believing that females have a role in agriculture. But if you look at it today, it's a pretty dominant field that's being held, you know, by females. And it's just not farming, because agriculture has spread, you know, into other diverse fields that's for men and women.
Debbie says she's encouraged to see the number of women who are taking leadership roles today, not just in FFA, but in the ag industry as a whole.
And I'm glad that the men in the field also take the fact that, you know, women have something to say.
Debbie certainly is humble when it comes to her contribution to Indiana FFA.
You're thinking that, you know, I was kind of like a icebreaker. You know, I don't see myself in that. I think eventually the way the world was changing, which was our theme back, you know, when I was a state officer, an ever-changing, you know, world. And boy, has it changed.
Today, about 43% of the national FFA members are female, with women holding about 50% of the state leadership positions. I'm C.J. Miller.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced Wednesday that USDA would be reestablishing a new world screwworm sterile fly facility at Moore Air Base in South Texas to protect the U.S. from the spread of the pest from Mexico. This facility was used in the 1960s to help eradicate a screwworm infestation at that time. National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Buck Wehrbein was at the announcement and told the Beltway Beef podcast.
We've had issues with getting the flies distributed in southern Mexico, and so there's been a change from, instead of bringing them from Panama, where they're creating 100 million of them a week, to Moore Air Force Base, staging them there and then delivering them, and that will be a big help.
It's estimated that upwards of 300 million sterile flies must be propagated per week to combat the screwworm. Wehrbein says USDA has formed a detailed plan to overwhelm the dangerous pest.
Secretary Rollins also has committed $21 million to the Mexican government to assist them in getting a facility going down there that could produce 60 to 100 million flies a week. And so she's got a five-point plan with a lot of detail. It's good to see that they've got something on paper that is well thought out.
Wehrbein says Rollins and her team at USDA have already put a lot of work into keeping the screwworm out of the United States.
We are grateful for her, for this action, for the action that she's taken. We're grateful that she is, in my view, listening, but more importantly than that, hearing us, and she understands the urgency of this.
And Wehrbein says that the longest journey begins with a single step, and this is one of the early steps in what he's afraid will be a long journey. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. It's a hot one here. Heat watches and warnings have been in effect through the weekend into the start of the week, and they're not going anywhere today or tomorrow or, honestly, I think a large part of a Wednesday. Here's what's going on. We've got significant south and southwest flow coming up across the Hoosier State. There is a significant frontal boundary, or at least area precipitation, trying to build off to our north and west today. But it's mostly Minnesota, Wisconsin, back into Iowa. That's going to be the same place it is through the day tomorrow. I think we do see some of it streak across the Great Lakes into central and northern Michigan for tomorrow afternoon and evening. But I do not expect anything of any consequence to make it into Indiana. That takes us to Wednesday, where we can see a little bit more moisture trying to pop up. It's heat-based, or it's going to be heat-aided, at least any convection part of it, and that's really going to be the only reason why I'm talking about a chance of scattered showers or thunderstorms on Wednesday. Most of this is going to be in the northern third of the state. Let's just say US 24 northward, but even there, I'm thinking a few hundreds to a few tenths. That is all. Hit and miss coverage is 60% through Wednesday in the northern third. Getting into Thursday and Friday, we are a little bit unstable again as we put together another minor heat-based cluster of activity. I think we're looking at 40% coverage across the Hoosier State. Once again, a few hundreds to maybe a quarter of an inch tops. Much more activity farther north in Michigan for Thursday into Friday. But I think right here, Friday, we can also see a few hit-and-miss scattered showers or thunderstorms, but I don't see them with much more than about 50% coverage. So hit-and-miss activity Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There will be a large conglomeration of the state that does not see anything, and if you do get some moisture, call it a bonus and move on. Temperatures are likely going to get kept in check a little bit better for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, not because the air mass is different, but just because there's a potential for a few more clouds to be around. We probably pull back into the lower and middle 80s rather than upper 80s and lower 90s across most of the state. That takes us into the weekend. Saturday, we do see a nice little cluster of shower and thunderstorm activity coming together as a front sags southward out of the Great Lakes. Most of the precipitation Saturday will come midday, afternoon, and evening in central and southern Indiana. Once again, use that US 24 corridor as a dividing line. I think most of the action later Saturday and into early Sunday stays south of that line, where we can see a tenth to maybe half an inch. We can see some lingering precipitation for Sunday afternoon and overnight Sunday night into Monday. Hit and miss of scattered showers with about 60% coverage across the entire Hoosier State. Best chances, again, though, central Indiana. Into next week, we continue to keep a little bit of moisture around on Monday into early Tuesday, focusing a little more on southern Indiana than farther north. The main thing that I'm seeing for next week as we head toward July 4th, much cooler air in play, a lot more seasonal and actually comfortable when you get right down to it, even though I expect this to be fully dry. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for July 4th looks good, and into the weekend of the 5th and 6th, that's when we can see some scattered showers and thunderstorms coming again from the west. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. It's a hot one nearby. Be ready. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The end of the week ends with a sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. I'll have the final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. For that, I turn to Carl Setzer on Friday. He is with Consus Ag Consulting. Markets chopped around a good part of the session, and then as we got closer to the close, it appeared that it would indeed be a sell-off as the selling intensified just a bit. So mostly lower after a back-and-forth day. Carl, where did the pressure come from on Friday?
A lot of it came from traders simply moving to the sidelines ahead of the weekend, and really very thin trade today, very low volume. A lot of traders shored up their positions Wednesday afternoon, left the market, and just stayed absent today given we had closed markets yesterday. Really wanting to watch what their risk exposure is when markets are closed, even for just one day. And now we have a long weekend ahead of us. And it's not just from the weather front. The geopolitical developments really starting to impact the market here a little bit. Traders kind of shuffling off all positions today. We even had gold under pressure as we headed late into the session. Just not a lot of interest in the market, and that real lethargic type attitude just added pressure to futures all session long.
And it seemed as though early in the morning when the export sales report came out, it wasn't going to have much of an impact. Corn and wheat sales in the range of trade, soybeans better than estimates, not a huge number though. So no real impact there?
Yeah, we basically saw those numbers. Just not a lot to build off. We were mostly within expectations, as you said. The big thing is trade continues to look at new crop, and we're not seeing China show up yet. And that is a little bit concerning to the market. As we turn the page into July, if we don't have coverage, it will be even more concerning. China really moving to a hand-to-mouth buyer, though, so I don't know as if we should definitely hit the panic button, but trade will start to show a little more concern. Weather forecasts really kind of cast in the dark shadow over the market today. Big heat expected for the Corn Belt this weekend, extreme temperatures heading into early next week, then a breakdown to still warmer than normal temperatures, but added precipitation near greenhouse conditions is what trade is looking at. The reality, though, we're starting to show some pockets of concern from these heavy spring rains and crops sitting under water surface. Monday night's condition report could be one of the more interesting ones of the year.
We are inching ever closer to the all-important end of June reports from USDA. So does positioning really begin on that in the coming days?
I think when we get about halfway through the week, we get to Wednesday, Thursday, we will start to see more positioning in the market. I think a lot of traders already have their opinions dialed in. But once we start seeing those, we will see some shuffling back and forth. With the volatility we've had, I wouldn't be too surprised when we see weak positions pushed out both from the long and short side.
Carl Setzer there, Consus Ag Consulting. His number is 989-506-1587. Now, final numbers from Friday trade, down almost a nickel on July corn, 428 and three quarters. September 425 and a half, losing 3.5 cents. D's down 2.75, 441 and a quarter. 6.75 lower. July beans ending at 1068. August 1071 and a half, down a nickel and a quarter. November down 7.5 cents, 1060 and three quarters. And the July wheat loses 6.5 cents, dipping to 567 and three quarters. Meats mixed. August live cattle 209.82, down 185. July lean hogs 60 cents higher, 112.77. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.